Hey, Duarte. Hey, Antonio. Thank you for joining Couch Confidentials. We've spoken in the past about Dojo AI, but I'm not the person here to tell the people about this product. Why don't you guys just quickly introduce yourself and tell us what Dojo AI is all about?
Hi, Duarte. Should I go?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm Antonio. Essentially, I've been for the past 15 years building what I call data and AI intensive products, always with a big focus on creating a very strong data and AI platform that then enables products that, you know, really use these capabilities at the core. The past 10 years, I was at a couple of unicorns. First, FeedsEye, which is a fraud detection platform that, you know, it's processing a very significant part of payments in the U.S., and it uses machine learning for detecting fraud. I joined pretty early, first hire in the research team, and it was there that we developed the core technology around data and AI to detect fraud at scale. And then in 2018, I went to OutSystems as head of AI to use AI to automate software development. And so all of this experience kind of gave me a perspective on how real-world, large-scale data and AI platforms can change how business functions can work from the ground up. And you know, this is exactly what we're trying to bring from to market.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a nice warm-up to telling us what Dojo AI is about, because that's what Duarte told me about last time, and I was really fascinated. So, Duarte, the floor is yours.
Yeah, on my end, I've known Antonio for a long time. We grew up in Lisbon many moons ago, but I've been in London now for the past 11 years, leading global marketing teams, and I started with Fortune 100s. That was kind of my background, but eventually pivoted from those big, big companies, big brands to challenger brands, working more with startups, scale-ups, medium-sized enterprises to try and get them to get value off of marketing, build the marketing pipeline, etc. Noticed a big pain across the board. These companies were struggling with marketing. I saw CMOs with the shortest tenure in the C-suite. I saw marketing teams stressed out. And usually the problem was, it seemed to me to be kind of the same across the board, which was there were too many tools at their disposal. They were dealing with looking at too many dashboards throughout the day, trying to glue disparate pieces of marketing together, right? And struggling to do so. And in the meantime, they couldn't really prove the ROI of marketing. They couldn't do marketing properly. Because if you want to do marketing properly, you have to do it integrated. You have to look at it omnichannel. You know, people don't exist in separate channels. That's not how marketing works. So I saw this as a problem, because if you're a big brand, it's fine. You can bring in the agencies and the consultancies to sort out your mess when things go wrong. But if you're a leaner company trying to actually extract value off of marketing and needing marketing to grow and to compete, then the current setup is just not friendly. So I saw it as a pain, and I didn't know what the solution was, but I knew that was the problem. And that led me to reach out to Antonio and sell him on the problem.
Excellent. Well, we haven't really dived into Dojo AI, but I find your story interesting, because you say a lot of these leaner companies, and the picture that I often get, I work with a lot of startups and scale-ups struggling in that same space about, look, we have these tools, but how do we actually get them to work for us instead of us constantly working for them to tweak them, to make them work, syntax errors in a piece of code and you're not tracking anymore, campaigns that are paused and you don't know why. So the common setup I usually see with startups and scale-ups are the kind of the free apps. You know, you're looking at your Google Analytics, you're looking at Looker, you're looking at Segment also has a great startup plan that gets pushed a lot to these startup, through these incubators. How are you going to change that? I mean, it's a common trend we see over and over again, but what is Dojo AI going to do to try and fix that?
So essentially, think of Dojo AI as the first real end-to-end marketing operating system, right? And the way it works is it goes and gets all of the data that you need to do marketing. And this means no more false dichotomy between brand and performance, for example, right? Brand traditionally in the hands of consultancies and agencies to look at things like positioning, messaging, ideal customer profile, do market research, competitor analysis. So imagine that you have a tool that is now possible due to agentic AI that actually gets that information for you in real time and in a sort of always on way and brings that information back to an engine, essentially. And then you have the performance side of things, which was usually in the hands of 20, 30, well, actually 15,000 different tools, which is now the current MarTech landscape.
Hold on, let me call Scott. I think he's got an actual number here.
That's exactly right, Scott Brinker. And you know, so these, the performance side of things was sort of spread around all of these different tools. And you mentioned a couple of free ones that I found interesting, kind of like Google Analytics, Meta Campaign Manager, LinkedIn. Well, they're not really free.
Of course. Yeah.
But they're not really free because they suck up so much of your time.
Yeah.
As a marketer. So it comes with a price tag. And that price tag is not just efficiency, but effectiveness, because you don't have enough manpower to actually make the most out of those tools, use them correctly, use them to their, for them to be actually become effective. So you get lost in them and you become kind of, you work for the technology.
Distracted. Yeah. You become distracted from what you're actually trying to achieve.
That's exactly right. And you don't get the technology to work for you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to solve, right? So you've got that data layer. It brings brand and performance under the same roof, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have a tool that can actually help you dissect that, turn that into insights, all of that raw data, and then discuss strategy with you, help you make use of those insights, and then go into campaign planning, campaign management, content mm-hmm. creation, publishing, measuring at scale, right? So imagine that you have this operating system across your team, and all of your different marketing functions are operating under the same roof as well. So that means that finally, you can look at marketing holistically as a sole function and not 50 different tactics that operate despairingly.
And are you expecting that Dojo AI will, I don't know if you guys can already do it, but actually manage these campaigns? Because I can imagine that a lot of these platforms don't allow for a specific levels of control by a third-party app, in this case, Dojo AI. So when you look at getting all that data in to make that strategic analysis and come up with suggestions and actually put that into work on a performance layer, where are the current challenges laying right now? I can imagine that getting the data in, a lot of tools will help you facilitate that. But what about the actual execution part of it? Is that also what Dojo AI will be looking at?
Yeah, so there are two parts. I think on the data side, as you said, I actually think this is underappreciated, the importance of not just collecting data, but connecting data and cleaning the data and doing an integrated work end to end. And you mentioned Segment, and I've worked in different companies that had a lot of data issues. And this was because the way they dealt with data is they used Segment. They threw lots of data at it, but then they didn't have the skills or the capability to actually make sense of that data.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of data, but not any data to actually work with every day. And marketing has no power in the product roadmap or in IT to actually say, guys, we really need to make the data work for us. So that's one thing that Dojo does differently, which is since we fetch the data, not only from your channels and from Google Analytics, et cetera, but from the open web, we can do all of the integration and connection of the data using AI as well.
And then, rebuilding the data model, for instance?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we have our own, let's say, our own framework with the proper data models to you know, describe campaigns. It's not, there's LinkedIn campaigns and Google Ads campaigns, but at the end, they're campaigns, right? They have themes, they have budgets, things that are similar. So we do that work. Then on top of that, we have the intelligence layer. But we also, because we integrate directly with the APIs, we also have the ability to execute, to change, to publish, to optimize the campaigns. And that's kind of a progression we're making. Like we're starting with, you know, reading in the data, giving you the insights, giving you the suggestions to evolving to execution and actually pushing the campaigns to down the line in the long term to actually have some kind of semi-autonomous continuous optimization, monitoring and adaptation as you go. So you start working on goals and high level strategy instead of having to work day-to-day life on the specific variables and all of the hundreds and hundreds of different variables you can set on Google Ads, which are different from LinkedIn, which are different from Meta, right? So we abstract all of that away and we change how you work by abstracting and allowing you to work at the objective level, at a strategy level, and take care of the nitty-gritty of the execution.
So here's something that a question that popped into my mind. With the pace that AI is developing, it's going to outpace a lot of these marketing technologies. Like you said, if you're looking for a semi-autonomous state for managing your campaigns, the way that AI is going, it's going to outpace even a feature like that on the most popular platforms. How will you try to make sure that you either keep up the pace or are you guys going to be breaking ground there and taking a new approach?
So it's a great question. So the way we are handling this is that we try to understand what are the key drivers around the AI evolution. So there's a few. Costs are going down for the same amount of capability or intelligence. Intelligence is going up for the same level of cost you have and energy. So you get more general, let's say, capabilities, intelligence, depth of ability to execute. But so we play to that. So what we do is we make sure that, and we do a lot of, have all our own algorithms and technology to make sure we integrate all of the data possible. We get all of that data connected and it's high quality and has kind of a semantic layer on top of that. So we almost create a digital twin of your brand and the market and the competitors. And so we have a very, almost a complete and detailed representation of what your brand is and how it's performing in the market and for your competitors. And so whatever intelligence layer we put on top, as it evolves and gets better, it's going to just keep getting better. And our results are going to be better from competition because we have the best data and we have it connected in the best way possible. So that's one. On the other hand, we're also, as our customers use the platform and go through the what we call AI-assisted workflows, where they're not automated, they're semi-automated, right? You can validate. We're collecting data to train and evolve our own AI that is specific and specialized for these marketing use cases. And we've seen customers, when they start using Dojo, typically they're using ChatGPT as well on the site. And we have stories, and they're telling us, oh, in the beginning, I used both. And then as time goes by, they, even as OpenAI gets better and there's the GPT 4.5 or whatever, they see that Dojo gives them more specific answers, more actionable answers, and they're just more productive, more effective. And they feel more confident in adopting it, not just for these specific tasks, but as their everyday driver for the whole team. Yeah. And so that was something that was surprising for us. In the beginning, we thought we're going to give this to the CMO to do the very high level, high impact work. Very soon, teams wanted to pull that into their work. And first we thought, okay, maybe they're going to use this once a week. No, they're actually using this every day as they use it more and more because they have more data in the system. And when they have more data in the system just works better. And as intelligence gets better, the background intelligence, everything just improves. So we're playing within those kind of drivers. And so what we think that the platform is going to get better and better, and we're going to be able to offer something that is more powerful.
Yeah, imagine if you can do that with cars. You build a car and it learns from your driving styles and it can just adapt everything to that. But another question that pops up is, and it's a problem as old as Rome is probably right now, marketing and IT. You mentioned, this is very marketing focused, but I think to what degree is there going to be a dependency on IT to set up all these connections, set access to the data? What's the end role of IT going to be down the line with Dojo AI and maybe AI in general?
That's a great question. I've seen in my other experience that IT is a big stakeholder in adoption of any technology that is digital and transforms how teams work.
Yeah.
And I've seen marketing often struggle because they're kept in the sidelines, and this is why they have so many different tools.
It's too complex. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they have many different tools because that's the easiest way to buy.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is first we try to find the data integration. We have the kind of data we collect and integrate. So there's no PII data. It's mostly data that the teams have already available and have access to in their channels and their platforms. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen that typically there's not a big IT barrier because the teams already have access, and essentially they can enable through, authorize Dojo to use the same permissions that they have.
Yeah.
And that's usually okay. We do have typically data teams be interested in kind of knowing more what we're doing because they're interested in seeing how even Dojo could be used by the data teams. And we have people in data teams actually trying out Dojo. But I think it's because of the kind of data that we collect and because it doesn't require extra permissions or going into specific systems. Though I do think as time goes by, and this is especially for AI and for Dojo, as we start integrating with other kinds of data, like CRM data or revenue data, things like that, I think IT is going to be a big stakeholder. And I think the trick is just have a very solid data security, privacy, policy.
Yeah, governance is definitely going to come into play.
Governance.
Yeah.
And a very frictionless onboarding where you can delegate even to IT, giving the permissions in the self-service way, like going back into the marketing team.
So you mentioned governance and that there will be some stricter controls around that data, because can you kind of describe what the current capabilities are of Dojo AI if we're probably just looking at advertisement or, you know, third-party ad campaigns? Or I think, Dorota, you mentioned this last time. Can you kind of help us or guide us through a typical workflow that you're seeing these days?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's many, as Antonio said, and it's been amazing to watch, is the integration of Dojo across the multidisciplinary marketing team, right? So you've got content marketers with specific workflows using Dojo to research topics, to write blogs, then strategize how to create those blogs, where to publish those blogs, then actually writing those blogs. Imagine for those content marketers, the value proposition is fantastic because they've been struggling with, and I'm not going to name other companies, but they've been struggling with SEO tools, let's call them SEO tools, that are overly complex for no reason, by the way. With, you know, you open some of the biggest SEO tools out there and you're faced with a dozen dashboards, a dozen modules, very complex workflows. You have to learn how to use that tool just to extract data from it, and then you have to operationalize it, right?
I think that's just a little short of a PhD by itself.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, who goes into content marketing because they love data, right? And dashboards. They don't. They go to content marketing because they love to write. And they love to understand people and write things that people enjoy. But they have to be strategic and they have to have the right data to be strategic and to write the right things. So what we're giving those content marketers is a second brain that tells them, this is what people want. This is how you strategize to put it in front of them. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to help you write it. And the creativity side of things, that's yours, right? You be creative.
But is it though, if you're having AI generate?
It is. Okay. And I'll tell you, so what we've been watching is, listen, and I'm very, you know, as a co-founder of an AI company, I don't think AI is there when it comes to creativity. It's not. I don't know if it's ever going to be.
It's a lot of regurgitation, but just in a different flavor every time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it can be tailored strategically. It can be data driven, which is something that marketers were never. They love to say that they were, but they couldn't.
Yeah. Gut data.
And AI is actually like, it can be data driven. It can strategize the right way, but then it gets to a certain ceiling when it comes to real creativity, where you need a human in the loop. You need the human to take the data and the strategy and the insights and the first draft that AI gives you and then bring it to a whole other level to manage to tweak it so that it stays above the fray, right, of everything else. And that's really what we're seeing content marketers use Dojo for. It's to ensure that they can spend all of their time being really creative, right? And that's excellent. It's an excellent value proposition. Yeah. Because they're just taking care of everything else that they never like doing anyway. And then you have...
Maybe some.
But I'm going to go on a stretch here and say that the majority of them didn't really enjoy that. And then the performance marketers, we're seeing other use cases like the possibility of not thinking channel specific. Not thinking about, oh, I'm going to create a Google Ads campaign and a Google Ads strategy. And then a meta ads campaign and a meta ads strategy. And then, no, we're going to think about holistic campaigns, holistic customer journeys, right? We're going to be able to know who our audience is, where they are, what they are looking for, what do they want to see in each channel, because it could be different things, right? And we can craft true omni-channel campaigns for them, right? And we can uncover bits of data that will show us how to deliver the content in the right way to these people, or the ads in the right way to these people. So it's, again, it's almost like having an agency in your pocket, an agency that will do that, that will make you as a one person performance marketer have the performance of a 10 people group. So this is the kind of the capabilities that Dojo offers. And it's the same thing for, so not just performance and content, but for brand marketers. It's the same thing for CMOs and VPs of marketing who are trying to look at things a bit more strategically and long-term. It really is a multidisciplinary product for everyone in the marketing team.
Yeah. And do you think that companies that already tackle that cross-departmental challenge now are going to be the ones that are going to be successful? Because, I mean, you do say that somebody who works in content doesn't most likely is not interested in the data, doesn't want to be looking into SEO tools to understand what the data is telling them. And in this case, rely more on the data that maybe Dojo AI or that AI is feeding them. But doesn't that kind of push them back into a silo where all they're doing is kind of creating content?
Let me jump in because I think from what I've been seeing from users and even from myself building the product,
yeah,
and looking at the raw data, and kind of getting the sense. And so I'm looking at the raw data, for example, for what data you can get from LinkedIn ads or Google ads. And I'm just saying to Duarte, there is no way current humans are actually taking advantage of these channels at an optimum level, because there is so much detail. It's so rich, the data you have. So what we're doing is we're not just spoon feeding data that we select to the user. We're giving them the power to actually drill down, go from the top, understand what they want to work on, and then drill down to the things that matter and be able to sift quickly through a lot of data without having to write queries, open Excel spreadsheets, and deal with massive amounts of numbers.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're giving them less data. We're giving them the right data when they need it for what they need. But
yeah,
who decides what they need, when, why? It's the user, right? It's the marketer. We're just giving them a more powerful, quicker, effective access. So I think a big thing that changes is that we're shortening the feedback cycles and the iteration cycles for marketing from weeks, months, quarters in terms of measuring and deciding strategy and execution to hours and minutes. And whenever you do that in whatever area, I mean, it could be software development, it could be logistics, as you crunch the feedback cycle and the iteration cycle, you get more information, more data. You get better at doing what you need. It's fun because you get more kind of feedback on what you're doing. And that's exactly what we're trying to bring to marketing. It's more data. It's more feedback and iteration cycles. So you can test, experiment, learn, and adapt.
Which, by the way, it almost feels like technology didn't keep up, MarTech didn't keep up with the digital transformation in marketing. Because it's... You know, we usually say that strategy gets old as soon as it hits the PowerPoint, right? But marketers continue to operate within this sort of quarterly planning, yearly planning cycles.
Yep.
And it never works out because the digital landscape doesn't move at that speed. It doesn't move in quarterly habits, right? Or it's fluid and it changes daily.
Hourly.
You really need a way.
Yes, it's constantly update. I mean, just look at the things that happened in the news. You can't predict that in the morning. If it happens in the afternoon, you might need to change your whole strategy just on a dime there.
That's exactly right. And strategy becomes a daily thing.
Yeah.
And that's what we're building at Dojo. It's the capability for a marketer to actually open the laptop at the beginning of the day and know what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for their brand on that day that they need to solve for in the space of 24 hours, right? And Dojo can help them do that. So that's the kind of capability that we're building with them.
Yeah.
And that ultimately means that marketers are better, are more efficient, and are more effective, right? So they're happier. So we're really focusing on getting marketers to where they always wanted to be. I saw for a long time very unhappy marketers that were very frustrated with the tech that wasn't working for them, with the C-suite that didn't give them credit, and with their job that was kind of stuck in a rut and too stressed out. And what we're really solving for is that pain,
yeah,
is getting marketers back to their happy place.
Or send them to therapy, right?
Exactly.
No, but exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head there in that There is a lot of frustrations. People I talk to daily, I mean, forget other people, even myself, there's so many tools out there. And again, from personal experience, a couple of months ago, I was thinking, all right, I need to, so many new tools. Which one am I going to learn? Am I going to learn this CEP tool? Am I going to dive into this new data warehouse feature that I feel that I need to become competent in, or at least to the point where I can sell my services as a freelance consultant? It's overwhelming. The number of products, the diversity of products within companies, there is no, I think it's just great name, by the way, if you look at a data warehouse, I mean, it's Snowflake, but that is what a MarTech stack is in every company. It's a unique snowflake. There's only one of those with every company. So every time you look around, it gets very difficult. And I can imagine even for marketers, they just came from a project where they were maybe working with Braze and they were working with, Amplitude for product analytics. And now they're shifting to a new company. They need to learn Iterable and Mixpanel, for instance. You're losing time and efficiency. And I think, yeah, if you can put a layer over that to help simplify, like Antonio was pointing out, you know, you guys can take that data, build a semantic layer on top of it. So it's all the same, regardless of which tool. And you're telling a single story. Can you kind of walk us through, you mentioned that a content example. Can you walk us through another practical example of what you're seeing Dojo AI being used for right now?
I think performance marketing is definitely something that we're seeing a lot of. We had an example of for a marketplace for electronics, big European company that essentially was, so they measure, as you can imagine, as an e-commerce DTC, they put a lot of effort and most of their eggs in the performance marketing basket. They look a lot at like SEO, but a lot at ads on digital because that's the only way that they have to sell.
Yeah.
So they were actually looking for a long time at the wrong metrics when it came to identifying the right types of content and the right types of customer journeys. They thought that engagement, that a measure of engagement was the longer a person spent on their website. So they were obviously looking at bounce rate as something that was not good, as short sessions as something that wasn't good. And actually Dojo did a huge historical evaluation of all of their data and came back with a very simple insight, which was, well, actually, the people that stick in your website for a long time, they jump a lot from page to page and they don't usually convert. So these are not great engagement people. These are confused users. These are users that don't actually know what they're doing in your website and they don't have a clear view. You're not giving them the right customer journey for them to convert. This is just a simple insight that I remember them going like, oh, wow, this completely changed the way we built our website and built our content around our website, right? And what we're looking for as measures of success, actually really short sessions, but really focused sessions that ended up in conversion. That's what we need to look at more carefully. So it's these little insights that you really need a brain, like an intelligence, to actually give it to you and the right data, or else you might be kind of walking for years looking at the wrong metrics and because of that, making the wrong decisions as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And AI is definitely exposing that. And two questions that came to mind is one, data quality. If you have a company that is not collecting the right data, at what point does Dojo AI play a role in saying, hey, if you want to be able to do this, you need to collect additional data? Is that something that you guys can expose during the implementation or enablement of your solution?
So currently what we do is we collect data as much as possible from the channels. So directly from the channel APIs and Google Analytics. So certain standard channels, we go and we collect the data and we kind of have algorithms and AI to identify what the right data is and to convert it, et cetera. You can also put in your own data. We currently do not have that focus right now in terms of helping you improve your own data lake and data platform. However, we've seen use cases actually just last week where one of our users was using Dojo to help them set up and improve the configuration of Mixpanel, for example.
Yeah.
We do have that example. But we try as much as possible to standardize and to connect directly to the channel sources as much as possible and infer the right data from there. Because what we've seen is that often the quality of the data is already bad from the source whenever we're either it's in the website segment integration or whatever, and it's often better to collect less but more high quality data and data that comes directly from Meta, comes directly from LinkedIn, comes directly from Google. We believe that kind of yields a better outcome.
Yeah, and that's been around for years and that's pretty standardized. I mean, it would be pretty amazing if you're in Dojo AI and you say, hey, I'd like to do X, and then Dojo AI says, hey, based on other cases that we've seen, you know, because you're training your model on everyone, on all the clients, you can say, well, if you we recommend adding these data points to your data collection to help improve the performance of a specific campaign or...
So that it already does.
Oh,
that it already does, yeah.
That's what we need. But going back to one of the Duarte's first comments at the beginning of the podcast, there's a interesting topic that I'm also very active on right now, and that's measuring ROI on MarTech. With 15,000 tools in the market, I still need to get confirmation from Scott here. How do you... The question that keeps on popping up in my mind, what if a CFO comes to you right now and says, hey, how much is this tool generating for us? How is it helping us reduce costs on, for example, customer acquisition costs? Or how is it helping us to reduce churn? Is it going to play an active role in that aspect as well?
Yes, it is. So there's two things here. There's efficiencies and effectiveness, right? And you kind of, as a tool, traditionally, I think you got kind of either focused on one or the other. I never really trusted most of the tools that focused on effectiveness. But that's another conversation. But what we can do now is actually not have to choose between one or the other. We can play at both games. And the way we are now, efficiency is already there, right? We can already give that kind of, that's already a value proposition for us and a very clear one. And that's simply because if you look at marketing ROI, the biggest part of that not being, of ROI not really working for marketers traditionally, is because of the overhead costs of marketing. It's not that you don't make money out of marketing. You spend too much. You spend way too much, right? You spend too much on tools, on agencies, on consultancies.
Hey, take it easy. No. Just kidding.
which is fine if you're a big enough company.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're not, if you're a leaner company, then you start to struggle, right? Because you basically, it's not that you spend too much, it's that you don't have enough to spend. So you can't really do marketing properly. But we can lower those costs significantly. Just from a tool perspective, that's obvious, right?
Yeah.
You can turn off a lot of tools. So, and you save time because you don't have to waste time using them.
That's true. I think there's a cost or a cost savings element on the time saved in human effort. So you have an increased productivity. But one of the biggest problems I see, and the reason I came to that idea, is when I was looking at this tool called Otoscope, and they had this continuous A-B testing in there so that you can always check and say, hey, what are the people saying at the baseline and compared to the suggestions that we are making in recommending products? And they focus on anonymous users. And I gave an example on LinkedIn about Canva, that when I add a premium element to my design, When I click on download, it'll tell me, hey, you saved $6 on using a premium element in this design when you download it, et cetera. So it's very hard for me to consider how much are people or companies saving when they're using MarTech. And in a recent call that I had with someone from Amperity, who gave an example saying that she was in a call with an executive who needed an answer, and she used their AI option, typed in the question to get a reply, to get a figure from the data warehouse, and it generated that. And she was able to give that answer immediately in the call. And I'm thinking, all right, so what if we turn that time saved from a human element into a price tag and then be able to count that together or count it all up and then come up with a figure saying, hey, this is what you're actually saving. That's one side. But is Dojo AI also kind of focusing on generating information on how much they're saving in terms of the efficiency of their campaigns or anything in that matter?
So in terms of effectiveness of campaigns, one...
That Dojo AI influences, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one thing that Dojo already does is it already helps you optimize all of your campaigns, right, for effectiveness. It does that. What we're currently working on is on media mix modeling. So we're currently working on an agent that will be able to establish correlation metrics between your marketing spend, your marketing campaigns, your marketing content, and business results.
Yeah.
Because this is essential, right? And I feel like effectiveness, and that's why I previously said that I don't trust a lot of tools that in the past have focused on effectiveness in marketing. And that's because they were focused on causation. There was this kind of tendency, and I think it was, I like to see it as a kind of a natural whiplash reaction from the industry. With the advent of digital marketing, we thought, oh, everything is causation, right? We can attribute everything. Everything is attributable. So let's really zero in on that and make sure that every dollar we spend on marketing, we know how much money we're making in return for 100% spent.
Yeah.
That is not how marketing works. It never was. It really never was. And it's significantly getting harder and harder to actually build that, that case for it. So we're going back to, as a function, we're going back to the reality of marketing. It's almost like a back to reality, right? Where we look at, okay, now actually, marketing has a compounding effect. Marketing has a long tail. There are clear returns on investment in marketing that cannot be attributed with causation, but can be correlated to.
Yeah.
And it you know, it's how advertisers did since forever. It's you see how a specific campaign has affected business results by looking at historical trends and establishing correlation modeling. So we're going to do that, but in a much more scientific way, in a much simpler way, more intelligent, right? So that means that marketers can kind of almost rest assured. They don't need to spend their days creating complicated workflows in old-fashioned tools, I would call them, right?
You're already calling them old-fashioned tools?
I really am, because they felt old-fashioned for a long time. We just didn't know that there was an alternative to it, a simpler, more intelligent alternative to it, but there is.
Be interesting to see, because I think we spoke about doing a demo sometime, right? But I think we definitely need to plan that in. So AI is fast tracking, and what do you guys see Dojo AI being at the end of the year? I think you have a waiting list now for companies who are interested. How is that progress going, and what can companies expect if they visit your website and want to sign up?
So we've got quite a long wait list.
I think I'm on there as well. I don't know. I have to double check.
So it was funny, because, you know, we're very early. We started building the product 7 months ago. We got our first round of investment. We have a very strong founding team, technical founding team, and we built a really strong alpha product that delivered value immediately. And obviously, we're iterating the product with fantastic speed. When I say we, it's mostly Antonio.
He said that last time too, Antonio. I really believe him now.
But the product is evolving at a fantastic speed, and we can see that there's a huge pull. And the pull, I've kind of always know that it was there. It didn't really come as a surprise to me, because the pain was so real. So the first time we started organically talking about this on LinkedIn, and that was the only promotion we did, was kind of us organically posting on LinkedIn. We started seeing a lot of people come into our wait list, and we were like, okay, we're definitely into something here, because there's a lot of pull. So now we're kind of very carefully, we've outlined what the next 12 months will be, what the 12 months after that will be. And actually, we've got a plan for 5 years, although God laughs at well-laid plans, right? But you kind of have to as a startup. But we at least know very well what we need in the next 12 months to get the product, to get 2025 is a building year for us. Right.
I had a good one so far. My analytical brain is like, I would love to reach out to all those people on the waiting list and ask them about what are your expectations? What are the challenges that you're struggling with, to kind of better understand the people that you're attracting to the platform?
It's so funny you say that, because Antonio, even not too long ago, pressed me to do a survey to exactly understand, to have a, And this kind of fixation on the customer that we have as a company is, I guess, what makes us, what's been making this a success so far. And I hate the word success 7 months.
No, but you understand the struggles that a lot of human marketers, because let's face it, it's still very human focused work that's being done, even with the advent of AI. But it's the problem that there are so many different tools to work with. And I think even data engineers struggle, you know, which platform do I need to specialize, let alone marketers who need to understand. For some reason, there's been this push about we need to become technical marketers. Is that the right way to go? Like Duarte really pointed out to me, and my wife is 100% creative and I'm 100% technical. And I don't think there's a middle ground, because she doesn't lean into the technical side. I'm as creative as they come. I still draw stick figures. So, you know, we need to let people excel and thrive in their own right and the skills that they have. So it's a very interesting perspective. Yeah. And time will definitely tell what Dojo AI is going to bring. And one last question for you, Antonio. AI by the end of the year, we've seen so many accelerations happening. I heard one person say, you know, it's going to plateau at some point. 4.5 from ChatGPT did not bring a lot of new things. What are your thoughts around that? Because Duarte was really emphasizing your AI resume in a call earlier.
No, I think you're going to, and I talked about this when you know, DeepSeek was, everybody was talking about DeepSeek. I think we're seeing the same progression we've started seeing since ChatGPT.
Oh, I think we lost you there.
Before. You lost me? Hello? Hello?
Yeah,
I can
hear you. You're back.
He was he was in deep thought.
Exactly.
You were blocked.
The AI was blocking me. You cannot tell them.
China was blocking you.
Yeah. No, but I think the progression, the curves are the same. So the scaling laws, I think they're still the same. I don't think we're going to see a plateau. So you're going to see continued increase of capability for the same unit cost, and you're going to see for the same level of capability decreases in the cost. And I think DeepSeek is a natural step in that progression. You have Claude 3.7, which is really interesting, and I think it's a good step, actually. And I think Anthropic did it in a very good way from a developer perspective. You kind of just, you can continue using the same model you were using before, but now you can have extended thinking just naturally. I think OpenAI, that 4.5 is really not a great product, I would say, because from the cost and benefit perspective, but I would expect to see kind of continued progression. I'm not going to make proclamations about AGI or not AGI. I think that those, everybody has a different yardstick
definition.
And benchmark and definition, yeah. So it doesn't matter. I think it's all marketing, but I think you're going to continue to see this progression. I don't think it's going to decelerate, and I think so by the year's end, you're going to see kind of continued progression.
Yeah.
I do think that people underestimate the, like, what's left to evolve. People kind of start saying, oh, it's already doing this in 1 year. It's going to replace everything. No, I think we underestimate the small, long tail of complex little things that for us are super easy, and for AI, it's going to be hard. And I think the technology from an algorithm perspective, from a scientific perspective, there are still going to be some breakthroughs that are going to be needed. But I think generally you're going to continue seeing the same progression.
Yeah. And I think the real benefits are going to be for like companies like Dojo AI.
Yeah.
Training on their own ecosystem.
Yeah.
And being able to build products out of what they're seeing in their data and their usage and the outcomes that are coming from the uses of Dojo. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And
thank you.
Yeah, I could talk to you guys for hours. I really want to see a demo next time if we can.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm a very visual person, but this talk has been very, enlightening, I think is the word. That was, I think there's still a lot of advancements to be made around AI. And I think, like I told Duarte in an earlier call, being able to help marketers kind of create some calm and peace in the madness that is, you know, that MarTech landscape right now is going to be very beneficial.
I agree. Thanks, Matthew. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.